Okay, so any guesses on how long the longest bridge in the world is? Long enough. That's, thank you, way to cut to the chase. Okay, long enough. Yep, it gets you from one side to the other. Who said, what'd you say, Gregory, 2 miles? Okay, any other guesses? 15 miles? 20 miles? Okay, you're all way short. The longest bridge in the world is 102 miles. It opened in 2011. It's built in China. It's called the Dangyang Kunshan Grand Bridge. And it is a grand bridge. And I'm sure I just butchered that pronunciation, but such is life. It is a 102-mile-long bridge. If you want to think about that, that's the distance from here to Covington, Kentucky. That's how far that bridge takes you. It takes you through rice paddies and over rice paddies, and it takes you over canals and rivers and lakes. It runs between those two towns of Danyang and Kunshan. It really is designed not as a bridge for cars, it's a bridge for high-speed rail. So it's not just cars moving across, it's things moving across in mass, heavy weights at high speed all the time. It took $10 billion and 10,000 people to build it. So here's a question for you, speaking of bridges. How many bridges do you think we have in Ohio? Too many? Too many? I didn't ask you to judge the condition of said bridges. I just said, are there bridges in Ohio? Would you be interested to know, or would it might boggle your mind, that we have the second highest number of bridges of any state in the country? Only Texas has more bridges than we do. At last count, there are 27,000 bridges in the state of Ohio. 27,000 bridges. Now, I want you to think about that as you're all thinking about how you got here today. And you're thinking about your drive home. Think about how many bridges you drive over. I think bridges are designed for one purpose, right? They're to get you from one place to the other, long enough to get you there, right? They're designed to span something that would be rather difficult to get across without the bridge. And the truth is, especially here in Ohio, we're kind of dependent upon bridges to get anywhere. To get anywhere we need to go, we need a bridge. I was reading a story this week about someone who wants to build a bridge to outer space. They want to build a space station and then up in space and then build a bridge that runs from a central somewhere on the Earth straight up to this space station. It's a Japanese company that has raised over $100,000 so far. Good luck getting the rest of the way. Called the Obayashi Corporation. They swear that if they can get all the money they need, they can have this bridge built by 2050. Now, just to keep this in mind, you're not talking about a 102-mile bridge anymore. You're talking about a 60,000-mile bridge. 60,000 miles straight up into space to be linked with a space station. There's only one big problem. And it's not money, believe it or not. The Earth rotates, which is why you'd have to build the... I read way too much on this week. The Earth rotates, which is why we can't build one to the moon. But we can build one from a stationary point in space, theoretically, or on Earth, that runs up to a stationary point in space, so it all moves with the Earth. Does that make sense? The only problem is we don't know of the existence of any material that could do it. Small problem. We don't know of any material that is strong enough and flexible enough to handle the forces at work, right? Because you got to figure there's no gravity to stabilize it. It's too far away from the center of the earth. We depend on gravity to stabilize a lot of things. Our bridges would not work floating through space. We depend on gravity, right, to give it a firm foundation to work from. It would also be spinning through the universe at 1,000 miles an hour. We don't have any material. There, as far as we know, there is no material in existence that could handle that, that could persistently and consistently handle that kind of stress and strain. In other words, that bridge is currently impossible to build. It cannot be built. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have corporations trying anyways. But isn't that kind of human nature? To try to do what's impossible anyways ourselves, because we really believe that somehow, some way, we can make it happen. We can get it done. I can solve any problem. I can build any bridge. The problem is, again, no matter how badly they want to build it, they can't. I think sometimes we make that mistake in our relationship with the Lord. We want to believe that we can be the ones that build the bridge to God through either doing all the right things or just acting like a good person, being a good person, as though somehow we can build that connection, rebuild that relationship with God, that connection to Him. The truth is, we can't. We don't have the materials needed to pull it off. It doesn't exist in the earthly realm. It only exists with God Himself. Which brings us to the beauty of Jesus. See, he compensates for something we've been trying to do and can't do. We've been trying to build a bridge to God since the very beginning. The serpent used this idea that we could be like God, right? To build a bridge, to be like Him, to be connected to Him, to be with Him and be like Him, be equals with Him. And in the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." See, they were already thinking about building a bridge to space. "So that we can make a name for ourselves, we can make ourselves equal with God." I think we still do that. I think we try to replace God in our lives with other things. We try to make pleasure as our source of joy or getting attention as the focus of our lives. I mean, look at social media, it's everywhere. It's pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. That's what it is. Sometimes we try to replace God with money as our source of security and strength. Maybe our sense of value. Sometimes we try to replace God by relying on ourselves to solve our challenges, to build our own bridges, or by following rules and redefining God into something else we can control or manage. The truth is, it's built within our hearts to long to be, to build that bridge back to God, to be connected to God. But since we can't, we seem to try to find ways to replace Him or convince ourselves we are Him. The truth is, though, the kind of bridge we've been trying to build or that we need to build is a bridge of peace. As the angel pronounced, as you heard in our Advent presentation this morning, right? "A Prince of Peace is coming." The Prince of Peace is that bridge. We all want that peace, right? Philippians chapter 4 talks about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We all want that. At least I want that. John 14 talks about this unique peace that Jesus left with His disciples, right? And leaves with those who follow Him. I don't know about you, but I want that too. Here's the catch. We can't build it. And I said it already, but I'm going to say it again. We can't build it because I think we need to hear it more than once. Because deep down, I think a lot of us still think we can. That we can make it happen. The problem is, we're not capable of it. And even if we did have the materials to do it, we have this tendency to tear it down as fast as we can build it. It's called sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but the truth is, if we didn't sin, we wouldn't need a Savior. And we do sin, so we do need a Savior. We do need a bridge. God knew all that, and God had a plan, and that plan's name, that bridge's name is Jesus. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. It says this. It says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit." That would be a shocker, wouldn't it? "So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." He will be their bridge of peace back to the Lord. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. God with us. God built the bridge to be with us. The bridge we could not build on our own, and yet we still beat our heads against the wall and try sometimes. We try to redefine whether or not we can be connected with God somehow without Jesus in the picture. We see it in the world all around us. We call it being spiritual. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, right? We call it I'm connected with the heavenly forces above. Trying to build the bridge ourselves that is unbuildable. When God has placed the bridge right before us. Isaiah foretold of this bridge. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, and he will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders." Wouldn't that be nice if the government was on his shoulders? "He will be named a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Yes, that is an inner peace, but I want to be very clear. I really believe that's a peace with God. Because truth is, the scripture also tells us that without that bridge, without that peace that only Jesus can offer, we are enemies of God. We are at war with ourselves. We are at war with the Lord. Jesus builds that bridge of peace back to him that we cannot build for ourselves. Upon Jesus' arrival, we know that the heavens celebrated him. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 said, "Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to the people that he favors.'" And we know that through faith in Jesus, we can have access to God. We can cross the bridge. That's what it requires, is faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He has built a bridge, and he's given it a single name. And it's not Danshun Kunshan Bridge. It's Jesus. Period. Jesus. And it's all the bridge we need. He came to us because we could not build a bridge to him. He laid his body across that chasm to be the bridge that's long enough to get us there, right? He laid himself across that chasm because he's the only perfect material to do that. He is the only one who's strong enough. He's the only one who's flexible enough. And he's the only one who's enduring enough. And he wants to transform us into his likeness. I did a funeral this week for Miss Thelma Miller. And if you went, thank you for coming and supporting the family. But she had a ton of quotes written in her Bible that we read from, her words that she had recorded. And one that struck me, really about building this bridge and the need for Jesus to do it, is this. It says, God formed us, sin deformed us, only Christ can transform us. Only, isn't that beautiful? That's why I read a lot of quotes from it, because her Bible was gorgeous. So why do we keep trying to fix it ourselves? As though we can build that bridge. As though if we're just good enough or right enough or perfect enough, we can get there. We can be worthy enough. Maybe we can be equal with God in some way, shape, or form. There's no way for us to build our own bridge. And I think that's really important. There's no way for us to build our own bridge to God. No way. How many of us have accepted, truly accepted, I can't earn it. I can't do it right. Can't do all the right things, and I'll get there because. Fun fact, God don't owe us nothing. There is no way to earn it. There is no way to build it. So how can we get to this bridge, and how can we get across this bridge? Well, the first thing is very simple. Stop trying to build your own bridge. Turn to Jesus in all things. We turn to Jesus in prayer of concerns and our challenges and our difficulties. We turn to Jesus when we're mad, right? We need to. We need to praise him when we are happy. We need to thank him when he provides for us. We need to turn to him in love and sometimes pleading when things are going horribly instead of trying to fix it all ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I will try mightily to fix things myself. Right? I can't. I really think even within the church we struggle with understanding this. That's why I'm beating it like a dead horse. I think we really struggle with the idea that if we just do all the right things, we can somehow fix it. Can't. I have a lot of trouble being told, no, I can't do something. I remember when I was in high school, I was a senior in high school, and I still have this problem. I was a senior in high school. My calculus teacher told me, don't take... It was an AP calculus test to get college credit. She said, don't take it because you're going to fail and you're going to make my average look bad. So since she said, don't take it and you're going to make my average look bad, what did Rob do? Rob took the test. And by the grace of God, Rob passed the test. Then the week after I got the results, during the middle of summer school, I marched back down. Because I'm graduated at this point. I marched back down, and I'm going to go find this lady. And another gentleman who was a believer, and I didn't know it at the time, but he was, he stopped me, and he said, you don't need to go yell at her. Because I was going to let her have it, right? I'm stubborn. If you tell me no, I can't do something, that is almost like a reason for me to try it anyways. They have a word, they have a term for that. It's called oppositional defiance disorder. I may or may not have it. Probably do. But the truth is, if I'm ever going to follow truthfully, find that bridge of peace with God and that strength and that inner peace that surpasses understanding, I truthfully have to accept the notion of no. It has to come through him, not through me. The next thing we can do is, we got. If you want to get across that bridge, we have to take the time to actually walk across the bridge. Jesus did all the work. He built the bridge. He laid down his life. He walked. He walked all of those steps, hauling a cross all the way to Calvary, right? With a crown of thorns around his neck, people throwing things at him, people beating him with his back wide open from all these lashes he had taken. He walked all that way, that journey, all by himself. Until he couldn't, and somebody helped. But he did that. Sometimes I think we think, have you ever been to an airport where there's a people mover? Do you know what a people mover is? It's this place where your gate at the airport is way down at the other end, and there's these belts that are running, and you can just step on the belt, and it just goes. And you can just wave and look at things. Huh? It's a flat escalator, yes. It's a flat escalator where you don't have to go up the steps, right? You can just stand and it carries you up. Sometimes I think we think the bridge to Jesus, since Jesus has laid this out for us, I think we think our life with following Jesus is, okay, I found the bridge and I stepped on the beginning of it. Now I'm just going to coast. That's not how that works. Jesus took steps. Guess what he's asking us to do? Take steps. Not because it earns our way there. It doesn't. He's already given us the path. He made the way. It's like, I've made the way. Can't you just take a few steps? One step each day, one day at a time, one step at a time. As we're listening to this story, Mary and Joseph, remember that they were taking steps across a desert while Mary was 8 months pregnant. Can you imagine? I was listening to an Advent podcast from the Brethren Church the other day, and they kind of pretended to be Mary saying, why God, why 8 months pregnant are you asking me to go across this desert? I mean, sitting on the donkey is better than walking, but the donkey still isn't very comfortable. She had to make that journey at a difficult time to go where he wanted her to go. Not knowing what she was going to find. Not knowing they were going to stay in a stable. And she went anyways. The wise men had to travel from countries far and wide to go visit the Savior and celebrate him. The Apostle Paul picked up his entire life and moved about once every 18 months throughout his entire service to the Lord. Constantly moving and going and taking steps. Doing his best to grow in Christ, and he was challenged with it often. If you read the book of Romans chapter 7, he is challenged with, I'm not perfect. I fall short. Why do I keep doing the wrong things? It's really making me mad, but that does not stop him from continuing to move forward and do the things that God has called him to do. The truth is, we are called to continue to move forward and take steps for the Lord. We have to walk across the bridge. And it's not a high-speed rail. Sometimes it can feel arduously slow. And that's okay. Because he's right there next to you. The other thing we need to do is show others the bridge. It's one of the steps he asks us to take. One of the critical steps is to show others the bridge. To tell others why we have this Savior, who he is, what he's done, how grateful we are for him, not just at the Christmas season, but each and every day. It's to tell somebody in your house, hey, do you know how much Jesus loves you and how much he loves me? Do you know what he's done for us? And if it's like my kids and I'm telling my kids, they'll go, yeah, Dad, he died for our sins. I'm hoping it will stick. Because I'm not going to stop telling them because I love them. It's telling people at work, even though they go, oh, there's that Jesus freak coming down the hallway again. I've been called that, and it's okay. I'm still here. I survived. It's praising God with every opportunity we can get for what he has done and what he continues to do. As I close this talk today, I'm going to have Nita actually say something. She's going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. It's a song of praise from Mary. It's a song of praise from Mary. And this is a woman who has just traipsed across the desert. This is a woman who has just given birth, right, in a stable. Listen to her words and listen to how she celebrates. Just listen. No words on the screen needed. Just close your eyes and listen to the praises this woman sings to our Lord.
My soul magnifies Adonai, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has taken notice of his servant girl in her humble position. For imagine it. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Indeed, his name is holy, and in every generation, he has mercy on those who fear him. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, rooted the secretly proud, brought down rulers from their thrones, and raised up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has taken part of his servant Israel, mindful of the mercy which he promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever.
Thank you. I wonder if we go out of here celebrating God that way, telling the story of what God has done in our lives, what he's done to get us here. If you are here, sitting here right now, it's because somebody before you was faithful. And it's because God has always been faithful to them, right? There's a story for us to tell, and we can get mundane with it and act like it's, oh, it's a thing, I told it once. This is a story that should define who we are. This is a story that is the only story worth telling, to be frank. Who God is, what he has done, and the bridge he has built. Our job is to walk across and invite others to do the same. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have everybody stand up. I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to do a responsive reading. You have a responsive reading for me as our quartet runs up? Okay? Okay. Y'all ready? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men."
Amen and amen.